Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Good.
Yeah?
Very good. I made it to Friday.
You made it to Friday?
Yeah.
Well, that's usually a good thing.
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just doing the intonation on my bass.
Ooh.
Getting it all set up since I changed the pickups, but I still got to set it up somewhere, so.
Is that the new one you bought?
Yeah, the PV one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so just getting that ready.
So I didn't read your message there. From was it Gary?
Yeah, Gary had replied and said he didn't know that all that was such an influence on us, so which was kind of cool. So yeah,
good,
pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're in our episode.
So what's the topic? You never there was no heads up on this one either.
No. Well, let's see. Keeping you in the dark. It should be the title of these episodes.
Rant in the Dark. That should be what it's called.
Yes. That's right. Well, I don't know. There's a few things floating around we can talk about. One of the – I had some more bad headline. I had one more bad headline. Or what's the headline game?
Okay, sure.
And it's something you don't know anything about, probably don't care about, but your opinion should be pretty interesting.
Okay.
So the headline was Lord and Miller, their two directors, they work together, always work together as a team.
Right.
Have been kicked off the Han Solo movie and have been replaced by Ron Howard, Opie.
Really?
Yes. Now, I'll get to the comment in a sec. So basically, these guys were brought in to direct a Han Solo movie. It's a backstory on how Han Solo that leads into Han Solo, like his first appearance. So what did he do before his first appearance? How did he get there? So it's a young Han Solo.
So they're doing a prequel of the prequel?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the Han Solo side of when he was younger and when he grew up. So yeah. This is another spinoff of Disney's new...
Star Wars movies, yeah.
Acquisition of, was it Lucasfilms or however?
Yeah, well, Disney bought Lucasfilms for $4 billion.
Right.
Which is the same price that Bell paid for to buy MTS, $4 billion.
Wow. That's a few dollars.
Lucasfilm is undervalued, or MTS is overvalued. One or the other. But anyway. So just as a quick backstory to this, which is why I wanted to talk about it. So this director team, they, I think they worked on like some TV before, and they were doing some Emmy award-winning comedy on TV. It might have been Arrested Development or one of those shows. But anyway, they made their big splash when they directed the Lego movie.
Okay.
Which was like one of the biggest box office earners that the year that it came out. It was like a global blockbuster. It was ridiculous how much money that movie made.
Right. So these guys are kind of seasoned, not veterans. Well, I don't know. Like, are these guys, was it like a one-hit wonder with Lego, or is this something that this was just another one of their hits?
No. They've got I can't remember what movies they've done, but they're as a directing team, they're one of the most sought after. And they can write their own check and do whatever they want at this point. So when they were brought into Han Solo, it was based on that. Like, wow, these guys are so good. So they filmed 3/4 of the movie.
Okay.
And then they got fired.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, go, I guess. So that's what's happened. So what's your opinion of all this stuff? What's your... 2 cents from someone who doesn't watch the Star Wars movies, really. What's your thought on all this stuff?
Well, personally, I you know, for one thing, I haven't watched the Lego movie, so yep. I have no idea how good it was. Second of all, I've never heard of these guys. I've heard of Ron Howard because of Happy Days, and he's also, I know he's directed a whole bunch of other films and stuff.
Yeah, he's a really well-esteemed director. He's up there with, like, Spielberg and those guys.
Right. Now, the only thing I can see, and now they were fired recently?
Yeah, very, very recently.
Like, very recently as
like
in...
as in this year. This is the big headline. It's just
like
a few months ago.
Oh, a few months ago. Okay, so this has got nothing to do with the casting couch issue, things going on.
No.
No, it's got nothing to do with that.
No, it's not one of those things.
Okay, so it's because I was going to say, like, if it was something like that, and then, you know, they were part of something that I could see. But, yeah, so now I think this is more towards probably either egos or money. Or because, I mean, if they've got the track record, unless the executives, I mean, saw part of what they were doing with the movie and you know, they wanted to go a certain direction, and them being, you know, that they have, I'm assuming the more hits and things that they have or success that they have, the more, you know, cocky they'll be or more demanding or whatever it is. And they just said, you know, no, we're not going to have any of that. We don't care how popular you guys are. This is the way we're doing it. If you don't like it, we'll find someone else. And they figured, yeah, sure, right. And they were tossed, maybe. I mean, this is only assumptions.
Wow.
And then...
Okay, keep going, because yeah, I like where you're going with this.
And I mean, Ron Howard has got a lot of things under his belt. I don't know how much of a fan he is or if he follows... Star Wars to the point where, you know what, I can do this and, you know, pitch his idea and go, you know, we go in this direction, and they would go, yeah, that's what we're looking for. And we figured we're not going to pay these guys, you know, through the nose to do a movie that they want to do on their own. They might as well do it on their own because they're not following the direction that we're trying to give them. And, I mean, Ron maybe has done movies with Disney in the past and already has a track record with them. And maybe know that maybe he's, you know, perhaps maybe he's a little easier to deal with when it comes to, even though he's a, you know, he is a ginger, which is, you know, could be, you know, I'm sure he has his own opinions on things also, but
yeah.
I guess it depends on the track record that he has with the company. Now, whether that's true or not, I mean, I'm assuming to the point where, I mean, I don't know any of what's going on here, so I'm just kind of throwing it out there.
So what's really interesting here is you hit a lot of nails on the head without knowing what it was. So maybe, as an incorrect journalist, you should actually be out there doing this as a profession, because you actually, you reported much better than a lot of other people have reported on this that have actually read the story. And So you
had read the story, though.
Oh, no, I did read the story. I've been following this very, very closely.
Oh, okay.
So, to give you some perspective, so when they did the Lego movie, like, their humor is very, very smart humor.
Right.
And there's some tongue-in-cheek to it, but it's incredibly intelligent humor. And a lot of it's based in... knowing, understanding culture, like geek culture and popular culture, and being able to throw in references. They're very hyper aware of everything going on and everything that's come before, so they're able to use that as their brand of humor.
Okay, now is this similar to, say, Warner Brothers with Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner and all, like all the things that when we watch it, when we were younger, you know, it just went right over our heads. But if you watch it now, there's a lot of nuances in there that you would not have picked up when you're younger, but you did when you're older. Now, are you talking about that type of humor?
Yes, actually, you know what? Yes, I definitely would.
Okay.
So it's really enjoyable by the kids. Mm-hmm. Very enjoyable by the kids, but there's layers to it that the adults can go, wow, that was really funny.
Yeah.
So the Lego movie, which was really a kids movie,
right,
did amazing business with the kids, but the parents kept going back to go watch the movie.
Okay, so they had good, they had like, it was almost like a two-tiered type movie.
And for, in terms of adults, there's enough references to old things that, I mean, there was references to...
like our generation.
Batman, or our generation and before.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, it was hitting multiple demographics. So the Lego movie did really, really well. for multiple reasons. And it, like, because it was multi-generational. So everything else they've done has been kind of along those lines, and they're considered like genius. Like their humor is so intelligent. Their humor is so intelligent that they can turn anything and make it awesome. And they made Lego awesome. And Lego got a big leg up from, you know, the infusion of these two guys. But they're also not directors. They're also writers. So very often they'll write and they'll do the writing as well. I think.
Now, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, okay, when it comes to Star Wars, and it comes to the writing for the series, the movies, and all this stuff, there's a certain, I want to call format, but there's a certain way that it was written. I haven't watched all of the Star Wars stuff. Like, I've only watched maybe the original one and maybe the Empire Strikes Back or something. But that's probably about as far as I've went now. But yeah. I mean, the writing is a certain way.
Yes.
And progresses in a certain style.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure the other movies.
There is a formula to it. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. So when Lucas wrote all of these, I'm sure he followed a certain criteria. And I'm assuming, even though they bought it from him, I'm not sure if he still has any stakes at all in it, or if he has any fingers in it at all for any of his own influences. But I'm sure if the people who bought them out, like Disney, I'm sure they're going to want to try and follow the same format. It's not like, say you watch a hit, like, say, Ghostbusters 1, and then you want to watch Ghostbusters 2, and you go, you know what, it's like night and day, it's not even close. I mean, mind you, I haven't watched both, but I've heard that the second one, they're not similar at all. Yeah. So if you're gonna make a series in Star Wars, and it doesn't matter whether it's Jar Jar Binks or whoever it is you're trying to show the history of right from the beginning, I'm sure it has to follow a certain format. Now, if you get these guys that have big heads that are saying, you know what, we're gonna revolutionize this whole thing, and you probably won't even recognize the movie anymore. I mean, it might be a good movie in itself.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you still have to follow a certain format. I mean, who knows? Maybe these guys have never seen a Star Wars movie before. Or they've just started watching them and going, okay, well, we've got an idea of what you want. But it's not quite. I mean, you've got so many Star Wars fans out there. Just barely. I'm sure it's in the billions. It's got to be in the billions. It was probably the most gross movie of all time, I would assume. Because, I mean, people talk to it about it to this day. I mean, any KeyCon or Comic-Con or any type of...
Adjusted for inflation, I think Star Wars is, like, number 3 of all time.
Is it?
Yeah, like, and ahead of it is, like, Gone with the Wind and some other old movie like that.
Yeah, and you have all these fans, right? And I'm sure you have all these forums and stuff, and people talk about, and they get right into the story. I mean, it's not just even the surface of the movie. I mean, they go into the history, and I mean, it's just like Warcraft or any of those other games. I mean, some people are just enthrall themselves in the history of it. And then when they find something that isn't correct, they go, oh, well, that's not right because of this and this and this. And then you get this whole debate going. And then you get these two guys that God knows whether they even watched a Star Wars movie. They start, you know, putting things together, and then you're getting people going, well, wait a minute. I mean, even you get the people from Disney going, well, I mean, we're not, you know, experts on it, but we know that it shouldn't be going in that direction. Maybe it should be going in this direction. At least I think that's maybe what's happened.
Wow. You've thought
Does that
about
make any
this.
Sense?
Yeah, no,
what?
It totally makes sense.
No, it's all on the fly.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I'm never going to let you know what we're podcasting about in advance ever again.
Okay.
There's no point. So you're so well prepared. So my perspective on this was when the Star Wars films were bought, like when Lucasfilm was bought,
right?
Disney offered a lot of money, but George Lucas doesn't need to sell Star Wars. He could have just, you know, let it die out or do whatever. He doesn't need the money.
Right.
He's already worth billions of dollars, right?
Right.
So if he was going to sell Star Wars, because he didn't want to make any more Star Wars, but he understands that, you know, there's a great love for it. And he didn't, I don't think he really wanted to die, but he didn't want to be the one doing everything anymore.
Right.
He's getting older and all this stuff. So I think my insider information is that when he sold it, he was very picky about who could buy it and who could do it justice.
Right.
So he wanted it. I don't know if it's in the contract or not, but I think, you know, he wanted to make sure he sold to somebody that actually gave a crap about it, was going to make sure, you know, it paid homage to what came before and didn't disrespect the franchise in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, and now they're making new movies, and the first Star Wars movie that came out after the purchase did really, really well.
Right.
Like, incredibly well. So,
yeah. Was he a consultant on that film at all?
Nope.
So he's like totally out of the loop altogether.
Yep.
Okay.
He went to go see the movie when it was done.
Oh.
Yeah. So when that came out, they brought in J.J. Abrams. I don't know if you know who that is.
Nope.
But he's the creator of the TV show Alias, the creator of Lost, the creator of...
I've seen Lost.
He had another show called Felicity. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of movies, he's actually gone on and made a crap ton of really amazing movies like Cloverfield. I think he might have been a producer in that one.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, he also did the Star Trek reboot that came out, I don't know, 7 years ago or something, which was really good. He also did, what was that other movie? He's a really good director. He's an incredible director, and he scores. He also can score as well, so he can do the soundtracks and stuff like that. Like he's
so this was the guy who did the first Star Wars movie after it was sold.
After the purchase, right? So when you go see that movie, does it feel like Star Wars? Yep. It actually paid homage to what came before. Some people have said it paid too much homage to what came before, but he referenced a lot of stuff from before, and he re-included the actors that were in the original, you know, 1970s, 1980s trilogy. He re-included characters.
Right. Did he answer any questions from fans that may have been to a movie and going like, well, wait a minute, you didn't finish the story. Like, what happened here?
No, he was very, very irreverent to what came before, and it wasn't, okay, I'm going to tell a new story and not reference anything and not answer anything that came before. I mean, the original trilogy didn't really leave much to ask. Like, you might wonder what happened to so-and-so or this person or that planet or whatever. But he referenced, he went back and really went back and referenced everything that came before. So in terms of from a business perspective, bringing this guy in, this high-profile director to direct your movie and have it come in, meet the budget, meet the specs of, well, your story has to be written in a particular way because he worked on the script as well, I believe.
And get approval of the original owner?
He spoke with the original owner, I believe. I think he wanted to get his blessing just because he didn't need it, but I think I believe he went out and got his blessing.
Did he get it?
I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Lucas has spoken about Abrams a few times, from my recollection.
Now, is there a reason why they didn't go with him for this movie?
Well, they asked him to come back because he did so well. But the focus was that they wanted to make sure they had, in the original, the first three Star Wars movies had three different directors. You may not have known that. So
The what had three different directions?
The original Star Wars movies. George Lucas directed the first one. He didn't direct the next two.
Oh.
He had a hand in the story, and he was the supervisor, if you want to call it that. Like, he oversaw everything.
Right.
So, I mean, he had direct input on Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. For sure he did. Yeah. So, so he didn't have this on this movie, but it really felt like, no, we're going to pay attention to what came before. We're not going to disrespect anything. We're going to show our love affair with Star Wars as a iconic entity or whatever you want to call it. So that movie did really well. So when they brought in these two guys for the sequel, the part two of the new Star Wars trilogy, these guys came in and they also have a reverence for what came before. But as evidenced in the Lego movie, they have a reverence for what came before, but they also make fun of what came before. So even though it can be a dramatic movie, like Lego movie was dramatic, but it was really viewed as a comedy. And they have a tendency to write their own scripts. They write what they write what they direct. So when they came in, they took the script that was written and they added some things in. And I think they also do a little bit of improv. So the actors come in and will improv a little bit some of the scenes, so it doesn't necessarily follow the script.
Right.
It'll follow the script in terms of, okay, the scene starts where Han Solo walks into this room and he's going to go talk to this guy and then he's going to have an altercation and they're going to fight. Right. So that may be with the description of the scene, but when you're improvising, the dialogue will still get you to the end result, but some of the dialogue is not going to be word for word.
Right. Make sense? Kind of on the fly, you mean?
A little bit on the fly.
You get a bit of creative,
yeah.
You know, you kind of put your own spin on it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there was a lot of that going on. So I think they were revising the script in that sort of manner and adding little bits of humor and maybe little jabs at what had come before in Star Wars.
Right.
And added more humor to a Star Wars movie than you would normally see. Because Star Wars movies are fun, but they're not funny.
Right.
There's little bits of humor in there, but it's not comedy by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. So, you're not there to laugh.
No. Really. You're there to have fun and go, wow, that was cool. But I think there was a lot more humor in there. So the rumor that came out was that the guy playing Han Solo would notice the way it was going. He's like, well, we're not really following scripts, or the script's been rewritten. This is not what I had read for. Because they have readings before a movie happens, right? Everyone sits around the table and reads the script together. So they can kind of get a feel for each other, build chemistry, that sort of thing, kind of get a feel for how it should go. And then the director might be in there and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to try to be sadder here or funnier here or whatever. So it was totally, to me, it sounds like it was deviating from the original plan. And I don't see Disney going forward with anything in that fashion at all. They have a plan. This is a script. Yes. Okay. We've greenlit the script. You're changing the script. Okay. Well, I want to see what the new script is.
Right.
Oh, you're improvising some of the scenes. Okay. Well, how am I going to know what the script's going to look like? How do I know what you're filming if you're improvising scenes? Well, now it's going to cost more money because you guys have already pre-visualized what the scene's supposed to look like from an effects standpoint. And if you're going into the scene and you're revising the script on the fly because you came up with an idea that's really good, well, that's going to be really expensive because we're going to have to go back and, you know, we already figured out how we're going to do the effects in the scene. Now we have to change it. So
now I wonder.
Go ahead.
I wonder if they had a meeting of the minds at some point and said, okay, the executives, the people paying these guys to do this film and to oversee what they're doing, get together with them and maybe the people who are, the guy playing Han Solo, I'm sure they talked to him also and figured, okay, guys, where are we at and how's it look? And they probably looked at it and went, okay, what are your opinions? And then I'm just wondering how much pull the person playing Han Solo had in.
Well, you would have none. This guy's a young kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's a prequel, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because if the actor's going, okay, you know what, this is what I read, this is nowhere near what it should be, and then the executive is kind of looking at the script, well, you know what, this isn't the direction you want to go. We want to go more towards this. They said, screw you, and they said, okay, well, then you're out.
Yeah.
And then the other guys come in. I mean, if you took, say, Princess Leia, if you took all the characters, the main characters in the Star Wars movie and did prequels like they're doing with Han Solo, if you had the same directors doing each person as the story went along, then I'm sure that would be fine because they're all following their own format, but at least it'll be the same. But when you start jumping directors, I mean, it's like it's not even the same story anymore. You got like two different directors. They have two different ideas of how the whole story should be and things that happened on the previous, I mean, the the actual director who did the previous would know and could make it kind of flow properly.
Well, you want it to look the same, too. Like, it's got to have a certain vibe and a certain feeling.
Right. But if these guys were, you know, turfed, and then Ron Howell was brought in. So when Ron was brought in, was this something that he was just kind of in the wings? Did they specifically target him to say, we want you to do it? Or how did that work?
Yeah, they looked at, okay, well, how do we salvage this movie? Because a lot of money had already been spent.
Right.
But how do we salvage this movie? So Ron has worked with Disney at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
So, I mean, he knows this stuff. He's been around for a really long time. He's an Oscar nominee, an Oscar winner. I'm pretty sure he's an Oscar winner. I know he's an Oscar nominee for sure for a whole bunch of his films.
Right.
And he knows how to do everything. He's an actor that progressed and became a director. So he knows his stuff. But I think because he's an old school studio guy, he started when it was less independent than it is now, and there was more studio. It was more studio driven. I think he can work in the context of Lucasfilm. And,
he's more the grassroots.
He can play by the rules. He knows how to play by the rules. And he knows how to play by the rules, and he knows how to say, okay, I can give on this. I can give on that. Like, he knows how to work within the system and like, okay, well, this won't be exactly my vision, but I can compromise here, but I'm going to ask for this. Like, he knows how to do that back and forth probably, you know, better than just about anybody. So you bring that guy in when the movie's two-thirds of the way done or three-quarters of the way done or whatever it was. Cool. I think he's good enough to maintain, to go with the tone that they wanted as a company, and to take what was previously filmed and salvage it and still make it make sense and still make it flow and still have a good product at the end. I don't think you can bring a young kid in to do that. I think you need someone who's not just a director who's, you know, done it all.
Well, when you have a veteran and they know how to treat people and talk to people and get their ideas across, I mean, I'm sure he probably has a lot of experience under his belt in that way. These new directors, I mean, if they had a hit and two hits and then they're kind of doing their own thing and they're, you know, when their heads are up in the clouds and their nose in the air, that doesn't quite work out too well, you know, depending on where you're at. Because when it comes time to talk to the powers that be that are actually paying you to do it, and if you can't be personable type person, not to say that they aren't. I don't know them from that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But just the experience alone that Ron has with people versus these other guys, maybe that could be part of the factor. But mind you, you had two guys, so it wasn't just one person.
Yeah.
So now you get two guys to contend with. So now, who knows? Maybe there's, you know, between both of them, one might have an idea, the other one might not be too crazy about. One may, you know, say, well, who thought of this? Well, he thought of that, or, you know, start throwing blame around. I mean, that's not a good way to do it either, but.
I think the actor, too, who played Han Solo, I think he went to the studio and said, like, I'm getting really nervous here. Like, I'm trying to play ball. Like, he doesn't want to look bad in the eyes of Disney, Lucasfilm, and all that stuff.
Right.
And he sees the movie's derailing. And if the movie's derailing, doesn't matter who makes the movie, a lot of times the actor is blamed. And as the lead actor in this movie, and, you know, he's making a name for himself, and this is, like, really the biggest role he's ever had. Like, it, you know, probably concerned for his welfare, you know, and his living and his, you know, future as an actor.
Well, you get some big shoes to fill. I mean, you're just jumping into the pool now, and you've got these big shoes to fill in a big, and it's a big movie. I mean, this isn't like, Ernie Goes to Camp or whatever, part six. Like, this is the shit, I want to call it.
Yeah.
So I mean, if he's, and I'm sure, and this is a young kid, so I mean, I'm sure the parents probably have, I'm assuming a few things to say too, because they're probably.
I think he's like 21 or 22 or something like that. Like
he's a little.
Keep in mind, Harrison Ford was like 35 or something when he filmed the first Star Wars movie. So I think
he's
in his early 20s.
Right.
So yeah, he's not a kid, but. But the last. So this. Han Solo movie. It's a standalone movie in a way. So they're doing three Star Wars movies, right? So he's in one of the side project movies. So they're doing three side project movies. So they're releasing a Star Wars movie every year, but the one movie is the Star Wars movie. It actually has Star Wars in the title. And then they're releasing three other movies every other year between the Star Wars movies that are not spin-offs, but they're taking a piece of the universe and looking at it. So the last one was Rogue One, which explained the details of how the Rebels got the plans for the Death Star and, you know, the original Star Wars movie. So is the backstory of, how did they ever get these plans? Because in the original Star Wars movie, they had the plans for the Death Star. That's how they defeated the Death Star. But no one ever explained how they got the plans. Just, the Rebels got them the plans. So that, so as a spin-off movie, it happened immediately before the first Star Wars movie, like the one in 77, like immediately, literally like months or days or weeks before that movie.
Right.
And then this is like another kind of prequel in terms of just kind of fleshing out another part of the story that never been touched on.
Right. So basically, the more holes that the first movie has, the more spin-offs that you can put later on.
That's exactly it.
So they're just kind of taking advantage of, they never really explained this. Okay, we're going to make a movie about that.
And I think the assumption was with these spin-off movies that there'd be a little bit more ability to bring in a young director and maybe not follow the exact same format as the Star Wars proper film. But, you know, they could go a little bit different and, you know, try some different things. But that's really not the case.
Well,
you know, it still has a similar feel. Like, the Rogue One, which was the last spin-off film, was very, very dark.
Right.
Very dark.
So now, if you were to compare, say, that to, say, Star Trek, for example.
Yep.
I mean, I think there's so many different spin-off and versions of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
The new generation and all these other ones that came out. And if you look at the original one, they're not even close.
No.
I mean, I think the only thing that's close is sometimes the uniforms they wear and
those are different too. Like, they're the same color scheme, but look totally different.
Yeah. And I mean, they're not even referencing the same characters anymore. Whereas all these Star Wars ones, they just keep referencing the original characters and making all the prequels. I mean, they've never done it for Star Trek. Not to say that they won't. Because that would open up a whole new can of worms for the Star Trek series.
Sure.
Because if you went to, you know, say, Shatner when he was, you know, whatever, when he was before he became a Star Trek, that's a whole can of worms in itself. And if it did go, I'm sure it would probably, I would assume, it would probably go, be accepted a lot more than just releasing another series of Star Trek. Because now you've gone back to the roots.
Yes. Strangely enough, J.J. Abrams did the relaunch of Star Trek a number of years ago. And he actually went back to the roots. And he cast people who looked like the same actors and made them, and it was younger. It was when they started out before they went on their first mission.
Yeah, that would work too. Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
yeah,
they had exactly the same director. So the guy who did Star Trek is the guy who did Star Wars, which is really, like, talk about a feather in your cap in terms of if you want to look at the guy's resume.
Mm-hmm. So he did both?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Insane.
Oh, there you go.
So, anyway, with the Rogue One movie, just as a point of reference, they lost their director at the end, too, but it wasn't two-thirds of the way, or three-quarters of the way. Like, they lost their director, like, right towards the end, and they had to bring a guy in to complete the film and fix it. So the first thought is, that movie, before it's released, this movie's going to suck. They change the directors right at the end. It's going to be all disjointed, blah, 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 blah. The movie came out, and it was amazing. People were so